ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीराये नैस्ताप्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवतीयताम श्लोके भवति नैष्ठिकी। Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer our respectful obeisances onto the personality of God as Narayan, onto Naranarayan, Rishi, the supermost human being, onto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and onto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within the heart becomes practically destroyed almost to nil, and transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental hymns, comes into being established as an irrevocable fact. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 42. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The sage Kardamba accepted silence as a vow. In order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of Him exclusively. Without association, he traveled over the surface of the globe as a sannyasi, devoid of any relationship with fire or shelter. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the words anagnir aniketanaha are very significant. A sannyasi should be completely detached from fire and any residential quarters. A grihastha has a relationship with fire, either for offering sacrifices or for cooking. But a sannyasi is freed from these two responsibilities. He does not have to cook or offer fire for sacrifice because he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he has already accomplished all ritualistic performances of religion. Aniketanaha means without lodging. He should not have his own house, but should depend completely on the Supreme Lord for his food and lodging. He should travel. Mona means silence. Unless one becomes silent, he cannot think completely about the pastimes and activities of the Lord. It is not that because one is a fool, one becomes silent, so that people will not disturb him. It is said by Chanaka Pandit that a rascal appears very intelligent as long as he does not speak. But speaking is the test. The so-called silence of a silent and personalist Swami indicates that he has nothing to say. He simply wants to beg. But the silence adopted by Kardamba Muni was not like that. He became silent for relief from nonsensical talk. One is called a Muni when he remains grave and does not talk nonsense. Maharaj Ambarish set a very good example. Whenever he spoke about the pastimes of the Lord. Mona necessitates refraining from nonsensical talking and engaging the talking facility in the pastimes of the Lord. In that way, one can chant and hear about the Lord in order to perfect his life. Vratam means that one should take a vow as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Amanidvam Adambidvam, without hankering for personal respect and without being proud of one's material position. Ahimsa means not being violent. There are 18 processes for attaining knowledge and perfection, and by his vow, Kardamba Muni adopted all the principles of self-realization. Ratam sastito monam apaka sharano muni nishango yacharachonim anagni aniketana. The sage Kardamba accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of him exclusively. Without association, he traveled over the surface of the globe as a sannyasi, devoid of any relationship with fire or shelter. Oma jnana timarandasya jnanangana salataya chakshurundalatamira tasmai shri gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manombhistam chapatam yenam bhutale swayam rupa gadamayam tatati spambhatantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shiva Sri Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very nice verse, Kadamba Muni. Of course, we notice a few things, that Kadamba Muni was a very extraordinary personality, because we see that one time he is traveling throughout the universe with his very beautiful wife, going to the celestial planets of the demigods, enjoying on a big aircraft ship, and enjoying all the perfections of material opulences. So we can definitely know that Kadamba Muni was definitely qualified to enjoy extensively the material energy. So these are very nice examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. Acharya means one who sets example, practical example. So Kadamba Muni, he was a very excellent example, because he showed that by giving up the material world, you are never loser. Everyone thinks they're going to be loser, because they think that if I give up my tiny little measurement of material sense gratification, that I will become deprived. This is the materialistic mentality. Just like Prabhupada says that every pauper is proud of his penny. If you're a very, very poor man and you have a penny and somebody wants your penny, you'll become disturbed. So the material energy means very limited. We are all here because of our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So we are giving some small limitation of material sense gratification. Material sense gratification means measurable. Everything is measurable. We get a measurable amount of pleasure from the material world. Some of us are getting more than others. Some of us are getting a little bit more, so we think we're better off. We think because we're getting a little bit more pleasure than the other person, I'm better off than him. But in actuality, this whole material creation is dukkhalaya. It is dukkha. Dukkha means where there is always distress, there is always anxiety, there is always some upheaval, there is always some problem. There's always some adversity. It is a hostile environment. Material world means hostile. Why is it hostile? Because it is adverse to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Material life means a life of exploitation, a life of accumulation, exploitation, trying in various means to gain something. We are all here to try to gain something. So Srimad Bhagavatam is showing very wonderful examples of personalities who had gained everything. We can just imagine how powerful Kadamba Muni was. He could travel at his will throughout the universe. How many years scientists are trying to go around the universe? But he could go at his will throughout the universe. That means he had mystic city, mystic powers, not normal powers. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said about Raghunath Das Goswami that he had the 8 mystic cities in unlimited quantity. Just think, not limited quantity, unlimited quantity. Because Raghunath Das was not ordinary living entity. So he had the 8 mystic perfections, as do all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They have all the perfections. Vaikuntha means all perfections. That is the meaning of Vaikuntha, all perfection. Here, we are in imperfect environment. Therefore, we are always searching after perfection. We want perfect looks, perfect body, perfect knowledge, perfect financial situation, perfect accommodation. We want to have perfect comfort. We want to have a perfect reputation, a perfect strength, wealth, fame, isn't it? As soon as some imperfection comes, our mind becomes disturbed. Just like when we get our little apartment, we decorate it up very nicely. As soon as some imperfection comes in, we become disturbed. Well, who has done this? Who has messed up this? Get out of here. Out, out. We become disturbed. As soon as we have any property and anyone messes it up, oh, what you have done? Rascal, rogue, thief, get out of here. Isn't it? We become disturbed because we are always trying to make our little tiny fragmental portion, our infinitesimal area, very substantial. We want it to be substantial, but in actuality it is very insubstantial. Anything we gain in the material world, even the kingdom of Lord Brahma, it is very insubstantial. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, what is the meaning? Krishna is saying from the highest planets of Brahma down to the area of the small ant. How can there be so much difference, this insect and Brahma? Brahma is manifesting the whole universe. The insect is just manifesting a little bit of energy. So even Brahma is disturbed. We can read. It's there. So Kardama Muni had achieved so much material cities and perfection by his austerity, but still he retired completely from his beautiful wife, his beautiful kingdom, his so-called position. He was so famous that even the great Manu himself, Swayambhuva Manu, he came there to give his daughter. So he wasn't a pauper. He wasn't an unknown fellow. He was very famous. Kardama Muni, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead came as his son. So we can understand, we're not talking about ordinary fella. We're talking about very, very exalted personality. And what does he do? He gives up everything. So everyone is crying, give up everything. Oh, I will lose so much. If I give up, I have, look what I have. I have to give this up. But we have nothing. We have nothing. If you analyze what we have a bag of skin and bone and stool. We collected some items. We got a few little garments and a few little pieces of bricks and mortar and a few pieces of paper in the bank account. But still everyone is thinking, if I give this up, oh, I'll suffer so much. I will be in great anxiety. Because they have no faith. Because Prabhupada says Maya means what? Maya means to think that you're in control. That is the nature of material world. Everyone thinks that somehow by my arrangement things are going on. Because I've made that. I am such an intelligent person. I am such a good devotee. By my sincere chanting, I've made so much advancement. By the way I study, I've become so good. Even these other Vaishnavas, they're looking at me. Just let them look and see what a great Vaishnava I am. We're always thinking, as soon as we have a few crumbs, we think we have a giant cake. You see? That's the nature of Maya. Maya means not this. Not this, because we are all an illusion that I have accumulated something here. Look. Look at me. I've got something. I managed to secure something. But what they don't know is that material world is, you cannot secure it. It is always shifting. Chanchala is always moving. Every time you grab something in the morning, it's gone by the evening. Or by the fourth year, it's gone by the tenth year. By the 20th year, it's gone. Everything is shifting, transitory, moving. So we are always trying to secure some position here in the material world. We want to make some permanent arrangement. That is our real desire. We want to make some permanent, solid arrangement. Something very substantial, something very perfect. Just like when you ask someone, how was your holiday? Oh, it's perfect, isn't it? How are things going at the moment? Oh, wonderful. Prabhupada said, even when a man is in hospital, he's been hit by a bus, he's all crunched up, his body, his legs up in the air, his arms up in the air. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm fine now. What is the meaning, fine? Or, it's getting better. How can it be getting better? What he means is that if it got any worse, I'd be dead. So I'm not dead, therefore it's better. So that's the nature of the exaggerated mind. The mind is always exaggerating. That's the meaning of cheating propensity, maya. Maya means to always cheat. We are cheaters. Because in actuality, we have gained nothing in this world. We can never gain anything. We can never secure anything. We can never actually achieve anything, really. Why? Because it doesn't belong to us. It does not belong to us. We own nothing. Nirmana. Nirmana means nothing is mine. We must have that mentality. Nothing is mine. That is a very important mentality. Because if you don't have that mentality, then you have the other mentality that everything is mine. We would like everything to be mine. I would dearly love everything to be mine. But I can't arrange that. So what do? I arrange a portion. Because I am a portion. I am a portion of Krishna. So I want to arrange a portion of his energy for my pleasure. This is maya. I want to arrange a portion of his energy for my satisfaction. Ahankara vimudapa. So we become muda, we become ass, fool. Just like the donkey, he wants to arrange a bunch of grass for himself. So by working very hard, he thinks that I've achieved something. So therefore, in the material world, many people are always very anxious to secure something in this transitory realm, in this impermanent realm, in this limited realm, in this useless realm. But we want something here because we don't know any better. So Krishna consciousness means to cultivate knowledge of higher dimension. We must understand that there is a higher plane. And that plane is unlimited. If you want to describe the difference between matter and spirit, one is limited and one is unlimited. So we are giving up the limited for the unlimited. What an exchange. Isn't that a good exchange rate? Is that not a good exchange rate? Something limited for something unlimited. Where will you get that outside? Can you go into a bank and give them some limited amount and get back an unlimited amount? You can't get. So this is the only bank where you can give your penny, because you're a pauper. Even the pauper can bring his penny, and he can exchange it for the unlimited mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can make that exchange. Therefore, we have what's called Namahata. Namahata is the, what is it? Who knows what Namahata is? Huh? The market. Marketplace. Lord Nityananda has opened up a marketplace in the material world. He has come here. Goloka Premadana. Goloka Premadana. Harinam Sankirtan. He has brought his market down here. He was enjoying up there market. Everyone was getting the unlimited quantity. But he thought, look at these rascals. These idiots down here, they're all chasing after pebbles. They're all chasing after bubbles in the ocean. Let me bring down something substantial that they can catch. So Lord Nityananda, he came with Panchatattva. He came with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to actually distribute. He wanted to distribute this love of God because he is the manifestation of Radharani. Radharani means internal pleasure. She's always trying to increase the pleasure of Lord Krishna. That's only Radharani's business. How to increase Krishna's pleasure. She has no other meditation. No other meditation. How to increase Krishna's pleasure. So she thought, there are so many living entities down there. They're not serving Krishna. Radharani is thinking like that. They're not serving Krishna. They are sleeping in the lap of Maya. Let me come down there and drown them. I will drown their Maya. You see, just like sometimes when you are very busy in the ocean, you get drowned, isn't it? And then it's all over. Once you're drowned, what can you do? Isn't it? You see these people, they go out in the ocean in a big yacht. Big wave comes, they're drowned. They're floating around like a cork. Isn't it? Everything stops. So similarly, when one drowns himself in Krishna Nam, when one can drown himself in Krishna's prema, then all of these materialistic considerations, they fly away like crows leaving the garbage dump. When crows are all eating the garbage, they're eating very vile substances. So when you come there, hut, go, they all run. No matter what they're eating, they run. So similarly, when we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So then, all the garbage goes. In the mind, there is so much garbage. We have been collecting it for billions of lifetimes. We have huge amounts of it. Just like when you sometimes have carried too much luggage, then you feel a great weight, isn't it? Oh, I wish I hadn't have brought so much luggage. So, we have come to this material world with so much luggage we've accumulated. Big, big bags. Just like sometimes you see these people in the airport. They have so many bags. You think these people are idiots. How are they carrying all this weight? But we are also like that. We have accumulated so much excess baggage in our mind. We are thinking that, oh, this is very important, that's very important, this is very important. So many things we are thinking. But actually, the one thing which is important, we have no interest in. So this is a tendency that in the material world, one takes that thing which is very light to be very weighty. That's one of the natures of Maya. What? That thing which is very insignificant, we think of it as significant. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Kita. And the nature of the mind is that thing which is very significant, we take as very insignificant or light. That thing which is very weighty, we take it as very light. That thing which is very light, we take as very weighty. So therefore, this material life is a very insignificant thing. Chapala Sukala, Marari. It is Chapala Sukala. Just like a water on the leaf, Narottam is singing, water on the leaf is just hanging on by some little connection. Any moment it may slip down and off the leaf. So that is our connection with the material world. We are very, very slightly connected, really, because we have this body. So therefore, we have to disconnect. So these are different ways. Bhagavatam is giving different ways to disconnect with Maya. One of them is to take rata. Rata means vow. One should take vow. We have many vows. Krishna consciousness is also a vow. So what is that vow? What is the vow of Krishna consciousness? What vows do we take? You see? We are vowing what? To give up nonsense. All our real vows are is to give up anathas. Anatha means those things which are not wanted. They're not actually required by us. Just like everyone here, we have given up smoking. If it wasn't for Prabhupada, we'd be puffing away. Isn't it? We'd all be puffers. Puff, 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 puff. Or we've given up intoxication. Now it's Christmas time. We would definitely have had the pleasure of a few sherries or a few beers, a little nibble of wine. So also, We would also have been chasing after some little sex life, some nice girl, some nice boy. So this is the nature, Kali Yuga. We would have definitely been chasing these things. But we don't need these things. Who is feeling so sad because he didn't have these things? None of us are dying because we didn't have these things. None of us have watched television, I hope. So, but there are so many channels we can watch now. Isn't it? We can watch, I don't know, they're bringing in from all over space. So many channels. About 42 channels, I think they're hoping to transmit. So we would have been engaged in all these anatta. Anatta means those things which are not wanted, not needed, and don't give us any benefit. Don't give us any real pleasure. So what is our real necessity of life? That is what Krishna consciousness is primarily dealing with. The real necessity is to reestablish our love for Krishna. That thing we have to do to reestablish our love for Krishna. So Maya, Maya also means test. The word Maya, strangely enough, means affection. One of the translations of Maya, because there's Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya means also affection. Krishna is very affectionate to us. He could have let us loiter in this hellish place. He could have let us be here without ever having reestablished our connection with Him. That is His prerogative. We have chosen to come here. So Krishna could have said, okay, you've made your choice. Okay, no problem. But Krishna is very affectionate to His devotees. So everyone is Krishna's devotees. So therefore, Krishna has made so much arrangement in the material world in order for people to understand that this will not give me any pleasure. This thing will not give me any pleasure. So why? Because it is full of inebrieties. You see? It is just like you are taking sweet rice, but it has sand in it. If you wanted to get rid of a guest, suppose a guest come and he liked your sweet rice. So you slip a bit of sand in. So he's crunching, then he's like, oh, this sweet rice is terrible. I wanted sweet rice and I got sand in it. So he would probably go away thinking, oh. So material world means sweet rice with sand in it. You see? It is nice sweet rice. Everything is very sweet, but there's some gritty things there which are causing us inconvenience, embarrassment, a bad taste, bad feeling. So, that is the nature of the material world, that yes, there is pleasure, but it is mixed up with so many inferior things. Therefore, Krishna says that there is inferior energy. Para, apara, apara. Para means superior, apara means inferior. So we have taken shelter of an inferior thing, but in actuality we vitally need the real thing. We are in great need of that real thing, and that is Krishna. So in order to get Krishna again, we have to become chaste. We have become unchaste. You see, in the material world, everyone is unchaste. Just like a wife or husband, they should be chaste to each other. That's the meaning of love, chastity. The husband has to be chaste, the wife has to be chaste. So that means they don't have any eyes for any other lover. So that is some chastity. So therefore, if you see, there may be so many beautiful women, but the man is thinking, no, no, I must be chaste to my wife. Similarly, the wife is seeing so many nice men, but she is thinking, no, I should be chaste to my husband. So similarly, the living entity in the material world is seeing so many things, but he always remains chaste to Krishna. That is the real meaning of Rata. The real meaning of Rao is that one accepts everything favorable for love for Krishna. That is the conclusion of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. the entire prescriptions of the regulated principles is summarized in one conclusion, that one should accept everything favorable for developing love for Krishna. And the opposite of that, because we are living in a world of opposites, the opposite is to reject everything unfavorable for Krishna, prema. So therefore, the one most disturbing thing in the material world is the mind. The mind is the prostitute of the living entity. The mind is the conductor of material affairs. Therefore, we as spirit souls have given over authority to the mind to conduct our affairs in the material world. We have lost control of our mind. And therefore, our mind is always engaged in frivolous affairs, unwanted affairs, anatta, unwanted things. We are always thinking unwanted things, we are always doing unwanted things, and we are always speaking unwanted things. Practically speaking, if you study the whole material world, everything they do, everything they think, and everything they say is adverse to Krishna consciousness. Practically. Okay, maybe not in an absolute, but practically speaking. Because all of these affairs are centered around the body. So Krishna consciousness means to refocus, or our new dictionary word that everyone uses. We have to make a paradigm shift. We have to shift our paradigm from the material body, from the material senses, from the material mind. We have to redirect it to Krishna. So there, here, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, in Nectar of Instruction, he has made so many nice observations. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, itam vegam yo vijayet dira, sarvam apimam padivim sasishyat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the action of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So the business of the devotee is to become chaste in his thinking, feeling, and willing. That is the real meaning. Chastity means that never to think anything which is not connected with Krishna. Never to speak anything which is not connected with Krishna. And never to do anything which does not have connection with Krishna. That is real meaning of sannyas. Sannyas means disconnect. But in order to disconnect, we need to reconnect. Otherwise, it will be a negative thing. Simply disconnecting will leave a vacuum, a void. Then you will have to replace it with something else. Just like sometimes people give up one thing, but they take up another thing. This is called bhoga tyaga. In the material world, there's always bhoga, and you get fed up with it because familiarity breeds contempt. So just like one man, he's renouncing his wife, but he's picking up another one. So he may give his wife up, oh yes, renunciation, go away. Get out of here. Yes, I give her up. But later on, a new one has come, new model. So bhoga, matyaga, matyaga, bhoga. So therefore, one has to become sober. Spiritual life means sober. Sober means to actually bring the vegam, vacha vegam. What is that? Vacha means what? Of speech. That there is always a tendency to talk. That is why, if you notice the difference, Kadarma Muni went out and he became silent. But in Kali Yuga, who can be silent? Very, very difficult. Everyone wants to talk 24 hours a day. Isn't it? If you see newspapers, television, conversations, gossip, chit-chat, social clubs, so many different... What are all these mediums? They're all mediums for speech. Everyone wants to read magazines, hundreds and thousands. They want to watch televisions for hundreds of hours. They want to speak until they drop dead. But all that comes out is simply croaking like the frog. So therefore, vachavegam means that one should control the urge of the mind. The mind is pushing. The mind is the central sense, but it has its servants. The mind has many servants. The tongue is the servant of the mind. So the tongue is acting on behalf of the mind, just like you're thinking, oh, let me eat that gulab jamun. Next thing you know, it's on your tongue. You don't know how that happened. Oh, a minute ago I was only thinking. Now it's on, in my belly. So tongue, all of these things, the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the nose, the belly, genitals, the legs, they're all very dear servants to the mind. So if mind is controlled, all the other senses automatically come into order. So how to control the mind? By these things. By always talking about Krishna, chanting about Krishna. This is the process. Harinama, 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 Iva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Katiranika. That in this Kali Yuga, people can't stop talking. Let them talk 24 hours a day about Krishna. Let them chant the holy name, Satatam Ketayantamam. Let them chant 24 hours a day, non-stop. This is Lord Chaitanya's process. He has not come in a negative sense. He's come in a very positive sense. That yes, you all like talking? Here, talk all the time about Krishna. Chant all the time about Krishna. Eat Krishna Prasadam. Fill your mouth full of Krishna Katha. Fill your belly full of Prasadam. And automatically your senses will come under control. Such a wonderful process. And we practically see that. As soon as you stop chanting around, again you'll be chasing cigarettes, women, intoxication, everything. As soon as you stop. Guaranteed. Prabhupada said anyone who stops chanting, he will fall down. Guaranteed. So our strength is in this chanting. We should take our chanting very, very seriously. That is our strength. As soon as we become weak in chanting, immediately the tongue becomes ferocious. And we're singing every day. But no, we're not always listening because prasadam's coming. But we say, what do we say? Sarirara vijaja jitendriyateka jivefale vishaya sagare. That this material body is a lump of ignorance. Big lump of ignorance. And the senses, they are a network of paths leading to hell. Of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and the most difficult to control. But you there, Krishna, are so kind, you send us this nice Krishna Prasad to conquer over the tongue. So this process, chanting Hare Krishna, taking Krishna Prasad, and speaking about Krishna, we are guaranteed to go back to home, back to God. There's nothing in the three worlds which can stop the process. Unless we again start talking rubbish, filling our belly full of rubbish, isn't it? Then our mind full of rubbish. Then as soon as you again start taking shelter of Maya, Krishna goes away. We are marginal. Marginal means we can go this way or that way. So our mind can go this way or that way. That is up to us. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premananda.